Man, I hope that you all have truly had a blessed family time. And I understand that Christmas sometimes can be people's highs, and at times, man, it can be a difficult time for some as well. And Renee and I, we had a Christmas Eve, probably is one of my favorite nights of the year. We have family, and then we have the staff come over for an amazing traditional dinner and just share for the year. It's just been a wonderful time. And then we get up, have our time at Christmas, go to Pittsburgh, had a great time in Pittsburgh for one day, and then we came back last night. And it's just tremendous. But isn't it funny sometimes when family gets together and you got cousins and distant cousins and you got your cousin Eddie shows up, you know, and just all the different things that happen. And then you have the room with the senior citizens and what? Golf? I didn't say golf. Well, what did you say? And it's just a sentence takes 10 minutes because they can't hear. It's like, what'd you say? Well, this is what I said. I can't hear you. Turn it up. I don't know what to tell you. I gotta go, you're driving me crazy. And it's just, when family gets together, there's so many amazing, laughable moments of dynamics when all is just tremendous. So I love it when family gets together. And don't judge me, but I laugh at them all the time. It's awesome. It's funny, man, it's funny. If you could please turn with me in two places, please. We're going to 2 Corinthians 5, and we're gonna go to Colossians 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and Colossians 1. And if I were to ask you, how was your 2015? Well, first, folks, I gotta bring up last week. We had more people in that service than we've ever had in a single service for Believers Chapel in the two services that we had at the high school. What a blessing it was to be able to be in that auditorium. It's a beautiful auditorium. Praise the Lord that Allegheny lets us do that. That was such an amazing service. And I've heard so many different things from emails and texts from people who were blessed by being there. And I'm telling you, one of my favorite moments for me personally was that closing song. When you had Robin, Olivia, and Katie just singing, that was just like angelic. I mean, I'm just thinking, wow, to have those three, that was like the perfect close to that day. And it was just so beautiful. It took a lot of work as the worship team was there for 2 or 3 days, 3 days literally, and just getting things ready. The whole shadow thing was just pretty seriously cool. And it was just, the lasers were rocking. I want lasers here. That would be awesome. The kids, they say they're for the kids. I'm like, come on, we want lasers. Last week was just amazing. And just a thanks goes out to so many hands that made that happen and made that work, that you are very, very comfortable as a church inviting people to the Christmas service, knowing that it really is blowout. But honestly, this is what I really believe. I believe every service that we have in this place, every weekend, folks, God shows up and does a great work. Powerful. Just powerful. And I hope that you can even look back in 2015. Honestly, if I were to interview every single person at Believer's Chapel and say, how was your year? You know how many different answers I would get? Man, I had a great year. It was, oh man, I got married this year and it was the best year of my life. It was incredible. I got married this year and it's awful. She expected me to be home all the time. I'd be like, what is this? I can't hang out with the dudes every night. No, man, things change. You can't be home. You need to be home more, man. That's the commitment. This is the deal. You know, maybe I'll ask, man, how was your year? And someone said, man, this was an amazing year spiritually, because I truly came to a place to understand Christ. I came to a place to be saved. I even got baptized this year, and how beautiful and amazing that is to know that I'm saved and then baptized and I've made it public, and God is doing such an amazing work in my life, and worship in my life is beginning to increase, and there's this connection and there's intimacy between me and God, and I'm understanding that there is this relationship with Him. And honestly, some might even say, I have totally come to the point to give up on religion and give up on the laws and give up on all of that, and I've come into this sweet, incredible, grace-filled relationship. And some may say, man, financially, it was a huge year for us financially. God blessed us with a new job, and we moved, and we have a new house. Or some may say, man, it was just a very difficult, difficult year financially, and man, we lost a job. Or maybe even some would say, you know what, it's been a very trying year because we lost a loved one. Or some would say, man, it's been an amazing year because we had a child this year, and God gave us this amazing gift. Think about everything that happens in a year. And some, it could be the most amazing, incredible year. And for others, it could be a very difficult season. But man, even in preparation for this last message of 2015, God brought me to this place right here. Let's just ask God to bless it. Father, we thank you for your word. It's alive and powerful. God, speak to us this morning, please. God, your word is powerful. No matter what year we've had this year, whether it has been an uptick or a downtick, whether it's been a year full of love, joy, and peace, or whether it's been a year that is just faith has been tested over and over. God, wherever we're at this year, Father, you know it. You've known her every inch this past year. You've known it, God. You have walked with us every step of the way. God, I ask that you would just speak to us here in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, help the Steelers beat up on those black birds today. Amen. And help the Patriots stomp the Jets this day, today. Because then Pittsburgh's automatically in. Sweet! Come on, I just came from Pittsburgh. And it's like, you still own your commitment to the Steelers. I'm like, relax, it's all good. Come on, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Isn't that just powerful? Just think on that for a minute. What happens if 2015, the love of Christ, can you say, man, I was controlled by the love of Christ. That, man, I loved like he loved. That controlled me. That made up my thinking. That made up my mindset. That made up my action. I was literally controlled by the love of Christ. I loved like Christ loved. Amazing to think what it would be like to love like Christ and have that control us, man. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, verse 15, and he died for all so that they who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him. Look at this powerful verse, that he died for all so that they who live may no longer live for themselves. Reminds me of Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This life I now live. Man, there's a transfer that takes place. This life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith, by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And when you get grips of a transfer, when you understand what it is to let go of yourself and say, I'm in, I surrender, it's about him. It's no longer about me. It becomes the selfless walk. And we can look back at 2015 and say, have I really come to a place to walk selfless? Can I put myself in this verse in 15? Jesus, you died for me that all who live may no longer live for themselves, but I want to live for you. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to understand this life I now live, I want it to be for his will here on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Was that our 2015? Did we come to that place of surrender? Now look at this, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. I'd love time to develop this, to understand. Man, when you understand grace and you understand forgiveness and you understand your own personal sin and you understand where you were filthy rags before God, had yet Christ died on the cross for you and washed you sinless. You walked in a place to be blameless. You walked in a place to be innocent, that God wiped our sins away. How can we look at others then in a judgmental way? Look at what he says. We now no longer... We no longer look at others according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now, everything's changed, for we know him in this way no longer. It is by grace, and it's through a love that is at times indescribable. What would it be like if we honestly had a church called Believer's Chapel? But I want to say we remembered our sin because God has cleansed them, but remember, man, it was by grace that we have been saved, and we begin to look at people in a sense of through the eyes of Jesus. What it would be like if they would come to a place to know Christ as saving you, Lord. And I love this. Here it is, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Folks, whether you've had a 2015 that has been just this amazing, incredible, awesome year of faith building, man, finances going great, faith is going great, family, marriage has never been better. Or maybe you've had a 2015 that marriage has been a struggle and finances have been a struggle and you've gone through these things that have been unseen disasters that have taken place where maybe a lost one or an accident or something would take place, or maybe it's been a very difficult year, even emotionally. But I want you to see something this morning. When you understand your position, please hear this. Because this morning's title is Know Your Position. Whether you've had a great year or whether you've had a difficult year, please hear this. Your position doesn't change. People can fly right through this verse. Look at what he says. Look at this. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is where? Where are we? In Christ. Do you understand that the Bible over and over talks about the word Christian, or talks about this word here, in Christ, in Him, in the Lord, in the New Testament about 160 times. In Christ is one of Paul's favorite themes, because Paul alone in his writings defines us as in Christ over 60 times. Do you know the word Christian is found in the New Testament in three places? Acts 11, Acts 26, 1 Peter 4. That's it. Three times. And it's defined in the first place in Acts 11, the word Christian was those from the outside looking at this group of people who were like that Christ. Because this was a time where they knew Christ. They walked with Christ. They understood Christ. The Gentiles understood Christ because they were there. They were present with Jesus. So they knew the Christ in an outward way, saying, man, this group is just like that guy in their practice. You understand there's a huge difference between your position and your practice. Because our position is in Christ. Wouldn't it be, because honestly, the term Christian, three times in the New Testament, everybody, unfortunately, is now defined as a Christian. What would it be like? Well, what's your faith? I'm in Christ. Huh? Because that's Paul's most favorite term to define who we are, and our position is in Christ. That's our position. So regardless of our great year or our very difficult year, our position, when you can wrap your mind around this, my position doesn't change. I am always in Christ. I am forever His. Good year, bad year, great day, bad day, great season, rough season. I'm always in Him. That's my position, is in Him. And no matter where you go, you're in Christ. And I look at this in the same way as marriage. Everywhere I go, if I was to travel across the country, everywhere I go, my position is married. Your practice at times should look like you're married, but at times, sometimes it doesn't. Maybe sometimes we become selfish. Maybe sometimes we forget that the really what makes that marriage work. That might be our practice. Sometimes in our walk with Christ, maybe our practice hasn't been there, but our position doesn't change. This is huge. When this sinks in and you get this, you recognize maybe my practice has been off, but my position is in Him, and that is unchanging. God says, when I act, no one can reverse it. Listen, Jesus says in John 10 that, listen, those who belong to me are mine. No one can take them from me. That's amazing to understand. My position in Him is secure by the work of the cross. It's forever. And when you understand, even though maybe 2015 my practice was off, my position was secure. Because look what he says. I love this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, when you understand your position, folks, when you're married, everywhere you go, you're still married. You may take your ring off, but that doesn't mean that you're not married. You may not come to church. Just because it's not Sunday doesn't mean that you're not in Christ. You're in Christ 7 days a week. You're in Christ. If you have come to know Christ, every day from that forward, you are in a position of in Christ. No matter where you're at and what you're doing, you're in Christ. My heart's desire is that we would know, even in 2016, that our practice really begins to line up with our position, and then we're really in tune. Because the Bible says this, I want to show you this in verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling, I love this, reconcile, that means you went from enemy to friend. Do you realize that God is about that relationship? That is the purpose of Christ coming, is to break that bond of slavery that separated us and made us an enemy of God, and therefore Jesus came to reconcile, to fix that, so we could go from enemy to friend. That's the big purpose. So that I can go from an enemy of God to a position of relationship with God, that we would be in Christ. Therefore, I love this, we are ambassadors for Christ. Here's the practice. We represent Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. This is what Paul tells this Corinthian church. Beg people if you have to. Come to a place to scream it that you need to be reconciled. This isn't religion. This isn't tradition. This isn't if you do your do's and don'ts. Man, this is a grace-filled love that you need to be reconciled by relationship, by coming and understanding your position is Him, by nothing of your own, but only through the grace of Him who loved you would send His Son to die on a cross for you. And this is reconciliation that you went from once an enemy to a friend. And man, there's so many that miss that. They don't understand. I am at odds with God and I'm an enemy of God until you really understand what it was for Jesus Christ came to take care of that so that you and I could walk in a place no longer an enemy, no longer a bunch of rules, no longer under tradition, but by grace and through love that Jesus Christ by His Son on a cross brought me close to Him in relationship. Gang, that is enormous. And then your position comes to a place to understand that I am now in Christ forever. It'd be awesome, honestly, if people ask you, well, what's your faith? I'm in Christ. That's who I am. That's my position. My practice is to be Christian, and that only simply means to be like the Christ that I'm in because I want His love to control me. How powerful. Come on, turn to Colossians 1, please. And this is one of my favorite prayers of Scripture. It has deep meaning to me. It is where my Nana would pray this over me, and she would cover me in this just from honestly from my mother's womb. Not known to me. But God put on her heart that there'd be a day that I'd be doing this. And this was her prayer for me. See, gang, when you understand whether you're having a great year or whether you had a very difficult year, this prayer doesn't change. Our position in Him doesn't change. And it simply goes like that. Look at verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10. So that you will walk, I love this, in a manner worthy of the Lord. See, you can have a great season of life and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You can have a very difficult season and yet still walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So whether you've had a great year or you come into the close going, I can't wait for this year to be done. I want something new. The fact is that either direction, we can still walk in a manner that is worthy of Him. And then it goes on to say, and to please Him in all respects. Man, I look at this, and Hebrews 11, 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So this is talking about our faith. God, I want my faith in every direction, in all respects. What I think, what I say, what I do, my actions, my word, my marriage, my kids, this church, God, everything about me and the relationships that I have, that it would be filled with faith, a faith such as that would be pleasing to You. That we would truly come to a place and say, God, whether I've had a great year or a bad year, I want this year, 2016, upcoming, that God, I would walk in a manner worthy of You, no matter ups and downs, God, my walk would be one that is upright and straight to walk worthy of God. How powerful is that? God, of all creation, I have the ability to walk worthy of You because Christ is in me and my position is in Christ. And I can have a worthy walk that honors You and glorifies You, one that is upright and one that is straight. And in that, God, I want to please You in all respects. Everything I face, God, I want to face it in faith. No matter what comes down, even on my best days, you realize that even on your best days could be the most difficult times to walk in faith because everything's going great. Honestly, if I were to ask you, man, how was your faith this year? Honestly, Sean, I didn't really need it. I had a great year. What? I really enact my faith only when I'm going through a difficult season. He says to please Him in all respects, everything we think, everything we say, everything we do, everywhere we go, in our marriage, in our children, in our parenting, here, in church, walking in a sense of a faith that truly pleases Him, walking in that sense of trusting Him no matter what. And I love this. It says this, bearing fruit in every good work. Do you look to bear fruit? Do you understand that being in Christ, we are to be fruit bearers, that we are to bear fruit, that there is supposed to be fruit from us? walking in a sense, God, how do I honor you? How do I please you? God, fruit, there's salvation in fruit. There's the fruits of the Spirit, walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, understanding the fruit of everlasting life and people being an evangelist, walking in a sense to lead people to truth. That's fruit. You realize that at times, people who go through the most difficult times can bear the most fruit because the world looks at them and says, that's just like me. But I have no peace and I have no joy and I'm an absolute complete wreck and I have nothing to bank on. How is it that you're walking in a sense of knowing that I struggle with the same thing that you're going through, but yet you rely on God and you walk in a sense of peace even in the midst of chaos and you have this sense of joy even when there's just craziness all around you? Yeah, that's God in me. You know, you can bear the most fruit at times when you're going through the most difficult times. Bearing fruit in all, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Strengthened with all power according to what? His glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness, joyously giving thanks to the Father. I love this. Who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. And then he says this. To rescue us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And where to be in a sense to understand what it is to be transferred from darkness to light. To understand that now I am in Christ. My position has changed. I have been transferred from that kingdom to a different kingdom. And the one kingdom was a kingdom of darkness. And this is a kingdom of light. And gang, when you really, really begin to break it down to a place of knowing your position is always in Him for those who've come to a place to repent, believe, and surrender. Your position changes. And you are now in Christ. But what about our practice? And I look at people and when I sit down and counsel people, the very first thing I go after, the very first thing is priorities. Because if your priorities are out of line, your practice is going to be out of line. God gives us priorities. It is first Him. And if you're married, then it is your spouse. If you have children, it is then your children. And then after that comes finances and church. And when you understand this, folks, when you really get your priorities, I will walk in a faith that honors Him first. First. And then, man, my spouse is right there. He or she is my, she is my priority. There is no envy, no one more important than Renee, besides my faith in Christ. My children right there, man, they're third. Then you come to a place to find a place of fellowship. You come to a place of support and financially your home. And you keep your priorities straight, your practice can get straight. But when priorities get out of line, our practices get out of line. Now look at this. I want you to see this. I love this. Verse 20 says this. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, verse 22, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy, blameless, beyond reproach.
King, what is it?
Maybe you've gone through a great year. Maybe you've gone through a tough year.
How many times did you come to a place to remember that relationship, to remember that my position is always in Him?
And I love this, man. Isaiah 43, God says this. I just want you to hear this. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read this to you. He says this. This is to His chosen people. This is after they've escaped from Egypt, after He's taken out the Egypt army, and He says this. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. This is God talking to his chosen people. Listen, do you remember when that Egyptian army, the toughest army of the day, they were chasing you down and I provided a way for you to walk through the waters and it was dry ground. As a matter of fact, I'm the one who called them to chase you down to get them into a position that they would enter. Do you think God doesn't know his entire plan? He caused the Egyptian army to chase down his chosen people so that he could get them to a place to collapse the Red Sea on them. And I love this. I love this. God says, I took out the whole army. It was easy for me as blowing out a candle. Is anything too difficult for God? When he says, listen, I took out the most powerful Egyptian army on the land, and I did it as easy as blowing out a candle. And then he goes into this. I love this. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. And I'm thinking, when I'm reading this, I'm like, but God, you just caused me to remember a great victory. And then the next verse is you're telling me not to remember things past. I'm confused. Like, you read this, you're going, God, you just brought up how powerful you are, that you just reminded us that you took out the Egyptian army like blowing out a candle. And then you tell me not to call to mind the former things. You know what he's talking about here? Please hear this. Please hear this. Because Egypt was a sign of bondage and slavery. He says, do not call to mind the things past that caused bondage and slavery. I love this. Or ponder things of the past. Gang, our 2015. There are things in 2015 that are holding you captive. Bondage. Slavery, sin, that has handcuffed you, that you just can't get free. And God's saying, listen, I can release that. And God said, listen, we're post this, man. We understand the cross. We understand salvation, that Jesus died for us to break all bondage of sin. I go back to the Old Testament and find this, where God says, don't go back to remember that bondage and that slavery. He says, listen, I set you free from that. Even in Old Testament times, God set them free from bondage and slavery. How much more us New Testament believers to recognize that Christ has set us free from all bondage and slavery. He says this, please get this. I love this. Verse 10, behold. God says, behold, man, this is an exclamation point. I am doing something new. Here this morning are ready for something new in 2016. God says, I'm doing something new. And now it will be sprung forth. But he asks a serious question here. He says, behold, I will do something new and now it will spring forth. And he asks this question, will you not be aware of it? Are you so stuck in remembering the past? Are you so stuck in remembering that bondage and slavery? Will you even notice me doing something new, God says? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Folks, how many times maybe has God presented something to you? He says, man, I'm telling you, I want to do something new in you. I want you to know what freedom looks like. I want you to know what it is to be free from bondage. I've already set you free on the cross. The work has been done. But will you even be aware of it, he asks? Will you even be aware of it? He says this, I will even make a roadway in the wilderness. Rivers in the desert. That's what God says. Come on, behold, I will do something new. And it will spring forth. But will you not even be ready for it? Will you be aware of it? If you're stuck in the past, in that bondage of slavery, if you really haven't understand that God loves you and has forgiven you, and the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus has set us free and has broke all of the bonds. No more condemnation, no more guilt, no more shame. God says, if you're so stuck in that, you're going to miss what I'm going to do. Yeah, but I could imagine right here, they're going, yeah, but God, we have sinned so many times over and over.
God, we've missed it. We're your chosen people, God. You set us free, but we've missed it over and over. Imagine this is where he comes right in and says, listen, but I can even make a roadway in the wilderness. And I can bring life to the desert. And you may feel like you have been in the wilderness and that your life has been this dry, dusty desert with no life. But God says, man, I can make a way. God says, I got this. Even in the wilderness, he says, I'm there. Even in your times of the desert, he says, I can bring you life. I can bring a refreshing in the times of the desert. So where are you in this today? Man, no one looking around. If you're in this place and you're like, man, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for something new. I just want to pray for you this morning. If you're in this place, say, man, Sean, I've been in the wilderness and I've been in the desert. And you know what, Sean? I've had a great 2015 and I kind of forgot my position was in him. I'm looking for something new in 2016. And I don't want to miss it. Put your hand in the air, please. Just put it up and then put it right back down. Put it up, put it right back down. God, I just pray for these people, God, that we would come to a place to realize, God, even in the wilderness, you're present. God, even in the driest of seasons, God, you can bring life to a desert. There's nothing impossible for you. God, nothing is hard for you. Well, I just pray by your Spirit, we are reminded this morning that our position is in you. It's in Christ. That's our position. Can never be changed. Our position is in you, God. I pray that you would remind us of that this morning. God, bless us as we look into 2016. God, let us not miss you doing something new. God, let us not miss that because we're so stuck in the past. God, you've set us free. You've set us free. No more shame. No more guilt. No more condemnation. Jesus, you paid it in full. Paid. Full. Forgiven. Released. Free. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. God, you can make a way. We just don't see the way out. God, you've made a way through Christ. Man, in Jesus' name.